Well, good morning. It is an awesome day. We've had some wonderful weather. We had some rain, and then we got some sunshine. And now we have just a wonderful praise and prayer service so far this morning. And thank you. Thank you, brother, for the music. That was just a wonderful song. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start with the 11th verse. It'll also be up on the screen. But if you got your Bibles, turn there, because sometimes the screen doesn't work. So bring it with you. Okay. I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. How were you inferior to the other churches, except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now I am ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So, I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and extend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? Be that as it may, I have not been a burden to you. Yet, crafty fellow that I am, I caught you with trickery. Did I exploit you through any of the men I sent? I urged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not act in the same spirit and follow the same course? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ. And everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. And you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance and disorder. I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of their impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray right now. That your name would be the one lifted up and glorified. Father, be present here in our midst this morning. Let us hear what you have to say to us. Speak to us, each one, as only you can, Lord. Your word is alive and vibrant for the day. Lord, might we hear it, grab it, and live it out in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're almost at the end. Next week, we're going to finish 2 Corinthians. And Paul's coming to the end of this letter. And he's laid his heart out before the Corinthians time and time again. And in this passage, he's actually fearful for them. His fear really isn't so much for himself. In fact, it's not at all for himself. But it's for them. See, the problem is, Paul wasn't flashy. Paul didn't come and abuse them. Paul didn't come and say, gimme, gimme. You know, for another $10, I'll give you another blessing. He didn't use and abuse his spiritual gifting and authority for his own aggrandizement, for the lining of his own pocket. No. Paul came and he ministered and he blessed. And he's just a little bit of sarcasm here. No, a whole lot of sarcasm. Turn up that sarcasm dial. He's saying, you know, I tricked you into becoming a follower of Christ. See, I didn't make you buy it. I gave it to you for free. See, other churches were supporting Paul. Paul showed up in Corinth, and he said, no, I'm here as your spiritual father. Now, the proper role of a parent and child. The parent takes care of the child, cares for the child as they grow up, provides what they need. Is it the child, the young child's obligation to go out and buy groceries, to find a house, to go to make clothes, to buy clothes? No. That's all the obligation of the parent. And that's Paul. Paul sees himself as their parent, their spiritual parent. And he's saying, you know, no, I didn't come to you and ask you for those things. I'm your parent. Why would I ask for that? Why would I ask you to take care of me? See, Paul was the one who ministered, who brought the word of Christ to the Corinthian church. And it's through his ministry. He is indeed their spiritual father. And he plays out, he speaks to that process. He said, now I am ready to visit you for the third time. And I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not save up for their parents. Again, he's laying that out there. He's drawing that relationship. He is their parent in the spiritual realm. And he's concerned for them. He said something, when I show up here, there's going to be some problems. And he's afraid that God just may humble him. There is nothing, nothing more humbling for a parent than to receive the news that something that their child has done. My father got a couple of those messages as I was growing up. I mean, kids do stupid, weird things. One night, some friends and I, we were sleeping in the backyard in the tent. We had this wonderful idea. We're going to throw green tomatoes at the neighbor's house. Nobody would ever know that it was us. After all, we're in the tent. We're not out in the yard, right? There was no brain synapses function at that age. I think this was like second grade. So we're going out, and we're throwing green tomatoes at the house. We hear noise, so we go out and we hide in the tent. Unfortunately, not only were we throwing green tomatoes at our neighbor's house, which is really nasty, does nasty things to the paint. But, you see, his elderly mother, who had a heart condition, was sleeping in the room whose wall we were throwing these tomatoes at. She literally thought the house was falling in on her and almost had a heart attack. They called an ambulance. When the neighbor came over and knocked on my father's door and explained to him the wonderful behavior of his son, my father wasn't happy. No, no, no. This was, I honestly remember three times in my life where I got spanked with the belt. This is number one. He came out, he sent my friends home. And he and I had a discussion. And the worst part, honestly, was how disappointed my father was and how humbled he had been by the actions of his son. Because his son had acted in such an irresponsible and thoughtless manner. You know, my father was devastated with his reputation with the neighbor. You know, your son's a hooligan, your son's, you know, whatever. You know, you could have named the adjective and I was kind of it if it was a bad one. It wasn't a good thing that I did. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever done in my life, but we're not going to tell you what that is. But my father, he was humbled by my actions. That's what Paul's talking about here. He's afraid about being humbled. See, why? Because you guys, I brought you the word, and I brought you correction. I said, no, don't do that. And you're still doing it. You're not even repenting. You're not even stopping what's going on. Or if you did stop, it's just like, okay, I stopped because you caught me, but now, okay, so I won't do it anymore. But what? How much repentance is there? None. We have to understand that repentance is turning from sin and turning towards God. And if we don't have that, if we're not repentant of our sin, how can we expect God to forgive us? And Paul is saying, you know, if you don't, I'm concerned. I'm worried. Next week, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the carrot and the stick. He's going to talk about the discipline that may come. He will also talk of the love of God. But today, he's just saying, my children, I am worried for you. See, you're doing stuff which you should not be doing, and there's consequences to it. And I'm coming. And that should concern you. Just as it concerned me when I heard my father coming from the back door of the house towards the tent. And trust me, I could hear him. Because while he was humbled, he also had to come and bring discipline. And again, we'll talk more on that next week, because that's what we see in chapter 13. But right now, let's focus here. I am afraid that when I come again, God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier. Well, how do we not humble our spiritual father, our spiritual parents? How do we not grieve them? How do we not grieve our Father in heaven? How do we not bring dishonor to His name? We do that by living lives that are led of Christ. We do that by seeking to follow God's Word. This instruction book is indeed an instruction book, and it shows us those steps that we are to take. We're not just supposed to go and do our own thing or follow the latest fad or listen to the guy who sounds the most impressive or looks the flashiest. Okay. When Paul came and did ministry, he wasn't doing the flashy thing. But he was doing those miracles with perseverance. He just wasn't doing it in front of everybody so everybody could say, ooh, ah, look what he did. We have some ministries, unfortunately, that fall into that thing of the hoopla. Look what we did. Well, guess what? We did nothing. God does it. Anything good, God does it all. The bad stuff, okay, that I take credit for. I'm not going to point my fingers at God because He didn't do it. If it was bad, I did it. Or the enemy attacked or somebody else. But, you know, in my life, I need to take my responsibility there. But the good things, that's through God's blessing. And He's brought His Word. He's brought the example of Paul, who says, follow me as I follow Christ. So let's follow Christ. Let's turn to the Word and see what it tells us to do. And it tells us to love one another. Anybody? Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. Did I get that up on the screen? Nope. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. That's what Paul has for the church in Corinth. That's why he's worried and concerned about them. Because he loves them. And he's going to sacrifice, be selfless for them. He's going to be loyal. No matter how difficult the situation may be, he's going back for the third time. Benevolent. He's going to do what's best for them, whether they like it or not. It's not about what they want. It's what's best for them. And that's true love. Okay. You can shut that screen. Everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. Is that the way you're living your life? That's the question that we need to be asking ourselves this morning. Is everything that I do for your benefit? I have to ask myself that as a pastor. But as a parent, as an employee, whatever your position is everything you're doing for the benefit of those whom you're doing it for? Christ didn't come to this earth for His benefit. He came here for our benefit. His is the example we're to live. We're not supposed to be all inward focused. Here we got the Bonnie County Association. I love what you guys are doing. You're coming together not for the purpose of, hey, you know what? Let's see what we can do for us. It's what can we do for those who are back home? And this is why God wants us to be concerned one for another. Because He wants us to have this attitude towards each other. Paul's concerned because the Corinthians aren't exhibiting it. Do I need to be concerned for you? I'm not necessarily your spiritual father. Some of you I am. There's a couple here I did lead to Christ. But the majority, I'm just your pastor, your shepherd. But I still love you and I care for you. And what you do doesn't indeed impact me. But also, you guys have to take responsibility for me. That's one of the things we talk about in membership class, isn't it? That you're accountable to spiritual oversight. But so am I. So are we. We need to hold each other accountable, one to another. That's the loving one another thing. So, let us take from this passage this morning the idea that everything we do is to be for the strengthening of those around us. And that instead of walking in sin, we need to walk in the footsteps of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your blessings, Lord. We just come before You this morning. We give You praise. Lord, that You indeed are the glorious, eternal God. The one who guides and directs the footsteps. The one who provides for the little things and the big things. Lord, every breath we take is due to Your blessing. And Lord, You have given us one another for the purpose of caring for each other. to our encouragement, that we would come alongside and we would say, brother, sister, what you're doing isn't right. You need to get right with God. You need to change your direction. To do that out of love. To come alongside and say, brother, sister, are you in need? Let me come alongside and help. Let me be there for you. Whatever that situation might be. Whether it's just going through the trials of the world, of the day, or whether it's a spiritual battle. Father, help us each one to see one another with the eyes of Christ, that we might truly love each other, and that everything we do, we might do for the strengthening of those around us. Particularly, Lord, for the strengthening of our brothers and sisters in Christ. For our brothers and sisters, Lord. Might we change our focus. Here in this country, so often we're told to look, to take care of ourselves first and only. Lord, instead, might we take care of ourselves so that we can take care of others. And we put their needs even ahead of our own. Lord, let our lives be examples which lead others to Christ. Might we indeed follow you all the days of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.